This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That actor, Gary Cole, that's from Talladega Nights, right? That clip? He's a good one for, like, his signature movie. Because that's a guy who's in a lot of things. Maybe it's Office Space. He's the boss in Office Space.
Oh, okay.
Lumberg.
All right. Yeah.
All That's right. probably it.
I was going to say, I don't know the name. You're
Gary Cole?
Yeah, I don't know the actor's name, but I've seen him in a million things. Yeah.
He was on West Wing, Bingo Bob, Brady Bunch movie. One of my favorite all-time movies. One of the best movies I think ever made, the Brady Bunch movie. It was Mike Brady.
Travis, I got to go.
Travis Yost with us from TSN. Available on a lot of cable providers. Travis Yost joining us now on the Wester Hotline. How have you been, Travis?
Are you trying to bait me into getting me right off the rip talking about NHL broadcast rights? I mean, I'm not going there. I'm not getting fired today.
Seeing you make the complaint for, I don't know, the 11 billionth time about it was the only game last night being on the NHL Network, stopped me from complaining about it being on the... I happen to get NHL Network on my streamer of choice, but what I didn't get because it wasn't an ESPN Plus game was the opportunity to watch the Canadian feed of the game, which I would have preferred by, like, 11 billion percent.
I think people, two things. One, I think people mistake me for just being always critical of the NHL, especially when it comes to broadcast rights and streaming and whatnot. It's not true, right? Because I think what they're doing today is remarkable. And like, oh yeah, okay, so to make a 16-game rolling every 15-minute funky thing that casual hockey fans are going to turn into, you may only have one standalone game on a Monday. Okay, that's the cost of doing business. What's not the cost of doing business is telling two-thirds of the United States, no, we're not going to give you access to the Prime broadcast, but also, if you're under the age of 65 and or just so happen to not have rode the wagon of every broadcast partner telling you, yeah, we're putting everything on streaming services, unless you have a bundled cable network or something unique, you don't have NHL Network. And I just don't for the life of me understand how the NHL, as a business, forget the hockey thing, as a business, goes into a, like, hey, we've got this standalone Tampa-Toronto Monday game. How are we going to attract casual fans? We're not. We're just going to shut the gates, and we're just going to appease our broadcast partners. And it's not so much that, oh, well, Amazon's got the rights in Canada. It's the NHL making a choice to do stuff like, we're going to keep putting games on NHL Network that two-thirds of the country doesn't have access to, but also we want to grow our sport. These are just naturally in conflict, and it is maddening when they do stuff like this.
Well, I appreciate you speaking on this issue. It's comforting to hear your voice and hear these kind of takes, like, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy. And so is the Sabre start, right? I mean, forever, since we've known each other, it's kind of the same thing. Do you have any reason yet, and I recognize how early it still is, Travis, but to think that the Sabres can get there this year, is it too early to be this sort of, you know, have this attitude about them? Because I think that I'm probably like most fans who are just sort of so tired and kind of come to expect the worst. So this is kind of what it's looked like so far, close to the worst. Travis? That wasn't that bad a question. It was long, but
it did a little while. But yeah, I thought maybe it was a bit for a second. Like, I thought he might just be, you know, doing that thing where you're like, I don't want to tell you the truth, so I'm not going to talk at all. I'm just going to leave you silent here after you ask that.
Or just question. Pretend that you can't hear,
right?
So you don't have to say something. I'm sorry, guys. I remember Bauk talking about a couple of phone-in guests over the years that just, like, seemed to him to pretend to not be able to hear us so they could get off the phone. A certain famous college basketball commentator. Travis, we have you?
See, I thought the NHL Network shot got me fired. Yeah. You see what happened there?
They probably did. They're listening.
They're always listening.
I'm offering up, you want a glass half full or glass half empty first?
Let's end on full.
All right, so we're going to start with empty. This special teams, holy cow, is it bad. I mean, it is so maddening, and it's not because of a lack of effort. Like, and by the way, I know a lot of the attention has rightfully been spent on the power play, which has zero goals on the season, one of two teams the year. But, like, they are at least trying things. There are 11 players who have played at least 10 minutes already, which, I mean, we're 5, 6, 7 games into the season. They are rotating ample units. They are trying to figure out something that works. But for whatever reason, that the pace of play that they tend to play with at even strength, which I would say skews a little bit more aggressive in a good way, it's like the puck just goes utterly nowhere. And offensively, when they set up, in the fleeting moments that they do, it's a feckless attack. It's very perimeter-based. There's nothing really threatening or challenging. And I do wonder if they are lacking that real top-end finisher or two that, you know, that can almost have a magnetic effect to the defense when you are playing on the man advantage, right? When you've got, and, you know, Ovechkin's always the legacy example of this, but there's plenty of guys around the league that when they're sitting in the circle, the defense has to either recognize it and respect it, or they don't, and you make them pay for it. And I just feel like Buffalo doesn't have any easy answers on the power play. And by the way, the penalty kill's not that much better. The special teams has been so bad, it makes you forget the glass half full piece of this, which is they have been above water at even strength despite this, I would say, mediocre at best start to the season. They have been fine at even strength, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're outscoring expected rates, but they're also giving up goals at a higher rate than you would expect. I think they're like 10th in offense. There's something like 10th in offense. 10th in offense at even strength, and they're like 20th in defensive goodness. But on a net basis, the Sabres are winning at even strength. The problem is, this is still a game where the value of a goal, a single goal, can be so incredibly important. And one, Buffalo is not good enough to blow teams out. And two, when you are reliably getting zero from your power play, and your penalty kill is under siege on most nights, you either have to be an exceptionally dominant 5-on-5 team, or you are just going to miss the playoffs yet again. And so I do think this is very much a glass. You can actually, this is a two-sided coin where you can look at even strength numbers, and especially their top nine. I have no idea what this fourth line that they're even remotely trying out with Sam Lafferty and company. I mean, it's just been awful, but the top nine has been pretty good at 5-on-5. And I think if you want to hang your hat on something and say, hey, look, we're not Anaheim, we're not San Jose, we're in competition, they have been game when even up. It's that they are just giving goals up left and right on the man advantage. Or, sorry, they're leaving goals on the table there, and they're giving goals up at clips on the penalty kick.
A terrible combination. Yeah, I don't know what Saturday night in Chicago did to this, but I know before that game they were at 70% on the penalty kill, which is just an awful, awful place to be, coupled with the zero for the power play, and you've got problems. Travis, I don't know how closely you would have been following it. I would imagine not as closely as those of us here in the market. There was a lot of talk in training camp about a revamped, philosophically, power play. It's not going to be just teeing up Tage Thompson for one-timers. We're going to puck movement, tire them out, and then we pounce. And certainly by Saturday night, if not before that, that was already out the window, and it was just back to trying to tee up one-timers, is because I think they just don't know what to do.
And you can see it clear as day. The biggest tell, or the easiest tell, and this is true really league-wide, when a team does not – now, it's easy to keep units together that are producing, right? Obvious point's obvious. But when teams really don't know what to do, you see things like, oh, they have played – this is no joke – 13 guys on the power play over seven games. And it's almost maddening. The other piece that I think where my attention draws, to your point, you know, two guys are responsible for the lion's share of offense and volume that they've been producing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I'll give you an example. If you are Toronto, I don't want to see Will Nylander, who is a phenomenal player, taking the lion's share of the shots. I want that to be Austin Matthews. And in the case of the Sabres, Cousins and Thompson, I think, make up more than half of the total shot volume from the Sabres. And, yes, they may be two of the best weapons in that Sabres rotation, but what I see when I watch this power play unit set up, and I haven't seen every game, I've seen most of the Sabres this year, everything feels slow. Everything feels trying. It doesn't feel like a unit that is just missing corners. They've got the goalie moving post to post, but they're just missing on these opportunities. The bumper's just missing these passes by a half second. It just feels like everything is an effort. It's an effort to get into the zone. It's an effort to maintain structure. And it's an effort to even threaten in the fleeting moments that they've had the structure. I don't know the easy answers here. I mean, this is exactly why you pay real money to a video coach to break every piece of this down, because it absolutely can be environment, who's playing with who. It absolutely can be the setup in the offensive zone. The one thing they do have that some teams don't is they haven't established, like, hey, if we're going to run a four forward power play setup, Dahlin's going to be the point man, right? And is he the best option in the blue line league-wide? No. But is he extremely capable and good for a PP1 unit? Absolutely. But if they, then again, you look at what the Sabres are trying, they've played three different defensemen in the power play, right? Byron's played, Power's regularly fixtured, and I think Dahlin leads the team in power play minutes. My point being, I give them a little bit of credit. They clearly have recognized this is not working. And by the way, I don't think this is them hitting a panic button too soon. I think it is absolutely time to panic and need to hit the reset button, even after five games on a base of 40 minutes, because they have just looked so ineffective. But I can say, coming back to your question full circle, whatever they were teaching in the offseason, I would put that in the garbage bin forever. I don't bring it back. I don't want to see it. And let's figure out what November looks like.
Travis Yost on the Westher Hotline. A player you're excited about, or at least optimistic about, I might say power for me. Of course, he was a first overall pick. It's not like he's sort of, you know, an unknown or anything. Blue chip. And then maybe worried about, and I would say Cousins for me, with the great season he had 2 years ago, but not a lot is happening so far.
It's a great question. So I think that the one that I'm really concerned about, I'll round it up and I'll say that fourth line, like, I actually think the Sabres have a pretty good, relative to the rest of the league, top nine, right? Like, they don't have the top end talent, but they really do have depth, and they can roll. This should be a team where you're rolling four lines. The problem is they have three lines. That to me is clear as day. And that Krebs Lafferty combination that they're working with on the fourth line, I beg you to go look at their numbers over the first five, six games playing together. Ghastly would be an understatement, and that's another one that needs to go into the garbage bin now and forever. I know guys like Lafferty, like they're discount, they're cheap ads. You try and plug them on a fourth line, and you say, hey, look, as a 12th forward, he's a better option than a replacement level player. The concern there is twofold. One, I'm not even sure that's true. I think they probably have as effective players, if not more, in their farm ranks. You can only carry a 25% expected goal rate for so long before you end up in the minors.
Oof.
But the other concern is the anchoring effect, right? If he's playing a bit with Krebs and a younger guy, but not so young anymore, right? And he's been feeling coming off bad injuries and trying to get his game together. That's a recipe for disaster. I would say the other side of that coin. I mean, you got it. JJ Paterka looks great, man.
That's my guy.
To your point, like he should be great. We were betting on him being great, but the goal scoring's there. The on ice numbers have been incredible. That line has been that line is a reason why they are not in the cellar right now. Considering the special teams problems, considering the fourth line problems. Devon Levy gets bombed out of a couple games. Like, there haven't been a lot of wins, but Paterka's line in particular has been really productive, especially at even strength. And I think that's really exciting because part of this Buffalo hope was we don't need every one of these young players to hit, but we need the majority of them, and this just moves that discussion further along in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I'll offer this up in their defense on that fourth line. It's an odd ball thing now with Krebs in there. Albe Kubel was on a wing there, and Lafferty was centering it with Malenstein, and the idea was that line was going to wear people down, physical, fast, all that sort of stuff, and Albe Kubel didn't make it through two games, and so he looks like he may be back soon, and I would assume they'll put that band back together and give that a fresh start. I don't know what their numbers looked like while he was playing with them before the lines got jumbled, but nonetheless, like that was the plan.
He only played one or two games with the Sabres, right. And you're right, like he's the anchor of that line, so it's a fair point, but I would say this, if you lose Albe Kubel and it completely blows up your fourth line plan,
yikes.
That is a bigger problem than, you know what I mean? Like that's the bigger concern there. It's not, hey, in a perfect setting, can we have this armed fourth line that's physical and fast? Yeah, maybe. I fully concede that. But if you are betting on one guy to be the anchor on that line, either your deck's not as good as you think it is, or there are better options elsewhere. And I'm quickly leaning towards the latter on that.
Sabres home to Dallas tonight. Not the same, but a thought was triggered when you made that point about Albe Kubel. If it comes down to him, I was saying this about Shakir after that game in Houston, Travis, switching to the Bills. Like, it's a little bit unsettling to think maybe this Bills offense can't be anything if Khalil Shakir doesn't play. He's that important? It's just sort of like, really? We have to talk about that. And I think he's good. They had a much more efficient game, of course, here Sunday than they've had in a while with Tennessee. How optimistic are you at this point, week seven?
Man, I'll tell you, I'm still pretty optimistic. There's two things, though, that stand out with that team. And I think the Shakir point is the same page of the same book of the point I'm about to make. Man, these guys get zero, speaking of zero power play goals, zero separation running routes. I watched. It must be maddening to you guys the same way it is. I throw on a Chiefs, and I know it's easy to say this. I throw on a Chiefs game, and it's like, oh, there goes Smith-Schuster. There's not a guy within 25 yards of him, and this happens six times a game. And then I watch a Bills game, and it's like, how many balls can I see thrown to Mac Hollins? Not even to pick on Mac Hollins. Curtis Samuel screens. The guys are glued. And honest to goodness, the front office can say whatever they want, and I think they've done a really good job full up. But, like, the reason why the Amari Cooper trade happened is I think they knew within a week or two, if not sooner, this ain't going to work, like, period. Like, there are no easy answers on the Buffalo offense, and I think the hope that everyone has is that Cooper, not only, I mean, I fully trust that him and Allen are just going to be clicking 24-7. The question really, I think, is does it pay dividends for Coleman and Hollins and Shakir and the rest of the guys and Samuel further down the lineup? You know, against the Titans, it did, and I don't diminish that. I think the Titans actually have a really good defense, and I think the numbers actually back that up. But the lack of separation is a real concern. And the other concern, which is less so about the Bills, but more so about what's around them. I don't want to say this is a punt year, but I don't think any Bills fans. I think understanding the cap dynamics, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to call this a transition at 26 or whatever. They're still one of the best teams in the league, which is awesome. But, man, you watch a Ravens game, I don't know. For years, I've always felt like not only are they comparable teams, when Buffalo's played Baltimore, I've always felt like, I think they match up decent against them. Holy cow, do I not feel that way this year? And easier to say now in retrospect after that beating. But there's just a couple. It's not just the Chiefs anymore within their conference, right? Like the Ravens, I really think, are a better team right now. And even if you think, okay, the Texans are close and with Amari, Bills full ahead, best case scenario puts them third in the AFC. I know the quarterback talent skews to the AFC, and maybe that makes them fourth or fifth best in the league once you bring in a Detroit or Minnesota, whatever. But they just still feel on the outside looking in the context of Super Bowl contenders, and I think that's the only disappointing piece of this.
The football season is such a ride. Like the Bills win on Sunday to get to 5-2. We worked through yesterday, feeling good. Amari Cooper's here, caught a touchdown in his first game as a Bill. Then I go home and watch the Ravens, and I'm pretty shook. And then I come to work, and it's Cooper Kupp may get traded, and I'm thinking about the Chiefs. And it's just like there's just always something around the next corner.
You're not kidding. I want to ask you a question. There's one other thing that gives me regular heartburn in a way that I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't. Do you guys ever get warm and fuzzies watching Sam Martin punt? I mean, I know a lot of focus on Tyler Bass in the early season misses, and maybe understandably so. But, man, does it feel like once again?
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Him and Sam Martin hits a 25-yard punt, because it certainly feels that way to me.
He got angry at one point on Sunday. It looked like on TV. I can't remember what it was, but
I can't cop to having noticed that myself, Travis.
Yeah, That's something you should be able to shake, I think.
That's a personal problem, is what you tell me.
Punting woes notwithstanding, they're still in it. I mean, it's always going to be about the playoffs this year, and with the Sabres, we're just hoping to see them ever make it. So, interesting times. How are you, Travis? How's running going and whatever else before we part here?
Running's going great. Just got done with Chicago. That was a blast. Anyone who is a distance runner, I recommend Chicago above most, including Boston. I thought it was that good. Atmosphere is incredible. The hockey team's horrendous, so don't schedule a game around the run. Go to a Bulls game if you can make it work. But the running is incredible. It's feverish right now. Likely be this way for about 4 or 5 more weeks. And when I'm not running or doing this, my new hobby has become in the last couple of years? Really, really hate watching the Jets and watching them lose every single week and them coming up with new reasons and excuses. I gotta say, it's a passion of mine. It's just as important of seeing a Bills win on a Sunday as it is a Jets loss at this point. Am I that petty? Maybe, but it's not lost on me. They were the AFC East favorites, right? How many games are they back now? You
three.
Guys do the math on
three. Three. Two
three
and five.
A half, right?
Sure.
Three and a half.
Right.
Nice.
All right, Travis. Great to talk to you again. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Travis Yost, TSN. Man, I wasn't about to guess at what his new hobby was, but I really wanted to be flipping furniture. That would have been incredible. Yeah, I'm refurbishing credenzas and selling them to my neighbors. Well, that would have been an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, that would have been something, yes.
We'll open up the phone lines next, 803-0550. The Bills and the Ravens are an interesting comparison, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Bulldog brought up Cooper Kupp. Okay. The Bills have 2 second-round picks. That's reportedly what they want. No way, right? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Hope to hear from you next after the update. Ross Tucker at 5, Sabres pregame at 6 here on WGR.
You don't need a lot of opportunities for Tage or for JJ, and I think that Tuck is a great piece, good defensively, long stick, gets his opportunities, probably has missed as high a quality opportunities as anybody on the team. So like the way the line is going, and I'd like to see him continue.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on WGR this morning. Check it out using the Audacy app, AUDACY, and anything else you might have missed from that show. I was a late scratch this morning. I had arranged with Joe to drop by.
Oh.
With a trivia question, but something came up, so that'll be tomorrow.
All right, good.
I have until tomorrow now to come up with a trivia question for them.
See, now here I thought the process meant that you had a trivia question that was so good that you had to come in to deliver it. But the truth is, you don't even have the question yet.
Well, I'm going back and forth between questions.
I see.
I'll just be calling in. I'm not coming in.
Oh, okay.
Drop by was more figurative.
Okay. I understand.
Tomorrow. I'll.
I understand now.
Quote, make an appearance.
I misunderstood earlier. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Always great to talk to Travis Yost. The Sabres and the Ducks are the only two teams so far. And the Sabres had those early extra games. Although much of the league has caught up. Still, 7 games, no power play goals. That's kind of amazing. And they did give up a shorthanded goal. So they're minus for the season with the man advantage. And you had it. Penalty killing 72% after Saturday's win in Chicago. So not the worst. Edmonton is like 55.
I mean, that's just no way to live.
Like, we need to play them. I mean, that's maybe I should be careful, but
right. Yeah.
I need the Sabres to play Edmonton. Yeah,
they haven't exactly gotten off to a great start either out there, Edmonton. They just they're 2-4. Yeah, 2-4. Sabres are ahead of them. We got to lose your point there.
End the season.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be like in the 80s penalty kill. Like,
for sure,
it's just not. That is not going to work for you at all. So they're going to have to get both of those things straightened out. And it'd be nice if, it's one of these things where, Travis, half full, half empty, what do you want first? It'd be nice if they had, a half-decent record while that was struggling. Because you could go, well, look, they're not going to give up, 30% on the penalty kill, and they're not going to go 0-for on the power play. But they're already, they won Saturday, but they're, you know, they've dug themselves a hole here, 2-4-1 to start. And, you know, I guess this, maybe if the special teams get it together at some point soon here, that can help them dig out. But, man, it just would be nice. One more win would look pretty good, considering the special teams tragedy that we've been witnessing so far this year. Because, again, you would expect that to right size at some point and come around. And, you know, maybe you could get going. But let's hope they're not buried. This next stretch here, I mean, they got Detroit on Saturday, and Detroit is behind them in the standings. Two fewer games played. But Dallas and Florida are the other two games around that.
They own Florida.
That is tough.
As long as Florida doesn't have its best players.
Right. Just the three best guys are
after
out.
Reinhardt.
Right.
803-0550 to join us. Ross Tucker in less than half an hour. Cooper Kupp. What I think is interesting about this report is that the Rams aren't being reported as taking calls on Cooper Kupp. They are making calls involving him. And that's pretty bold.
I found that notable too. Yeah.
Wow. They're shopping him. This is something I think teams are loath to have you think about them. That, oh, no. Remember Kevin Adams with the Sabres? Like, no. Like, he went long on how it was technically wrong or just in his mind flat out wrong to say they were shopping Mittelstadt like a week before he was traded.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that can be precarious for teams to do. But this would be one, I think. I mean, Cooper Kupp is such a well-established player that it's probably already sort of he knows. And maybe even he wants a chance to play somewhere else. For whatever reason, I think it's a little surprising. Like, the Rams aren't good, but they're also not dead.
Right.
And with Stafford.
And they're also not starting over. Well, maybe this is a sign that they're about to, but, like, Kupp is you know, still under contract for a couple years. Stafford is, unless they think the thing's going to blow apart, and, like, Kupp is the first step. Like, you know, Donald retired, and maybe they just think, like, you know what, we don't have it. Let's fall back and regroup. But, yeah, I find all of that really, like, important. It's an important distinction that they're calling to try to trade the player. And, you know, he's certainly been one of the very best guys in the league. And I don't know, I've seen some today of, like, you know, it's such a specific role he plays within McVay's offense that you maybe shouldn't expect to get the same sort of production, same value out of having him outside of McVay's structure. And all I do is think Andy Reid would find a way to use Cooper Kupp really well. I'm pretty confident he would find a way to make that work for the Chiefs and for Mahomes.
That's the team.
And I'm terrified of that. I just do not need to see them get that right. I mean, I'm over here like my Amari Cooper move. It's a good deal. I didn't need Devontae Adams instead of Cooper. I'm happy with Cooper. That was the guy I was targeting anyway. Fine, I'm good. Cooper Kupp is available? What? that's what happens in my brain when I come into work and see that. Like, come on.
I'm excited about Cooper like everybody else, and I applaud the Bills for making that move. It makes them better, and it's still, you know, plenty of season left. Like, it's an aggressive, smart, I think, decision. One thing about football, like, I'll usually be quick to, man, it would be better. I mean, not better. Teams should trade more. I'm pretty quick to that, you know. Football is always, like, hockey, we had the whole tanking business, and you have that in other sports, too. And football has been the one where I think it's more offensive to put that label on teams, like not around here. We don't. There's no tanking around here. Which, okay, I mean, there should be, but if it's like somehow you're above it or below it, whatever it would be, so be it. But, you know, saying all that, it's easy to say all this. Make more trades. Be aggressive. Good job, Bills. Jets too. I mean, I know they're 2-5, but I think that's what they should be doing, is trying to salvage it. One bad play, and you lose your guy. And we've had so many injuries at receiver, especially this year. And think about last night, where the Bucs were in first place. And Evans and Godwin, who've been there for so long and have just been so productive, they both go away in one game. Like, probably for Godwin, if not also for Evans, for the year. And it's just cruel.
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't predict injuries. I feel like there's no point in trying to do that. But it's got to be part of the calculus in this, is whether it's the Chiefs with Kupp or some other team or the Bills and Cooper, Adams, anybody.
Pay a premium for one, a guy that, yeah, right.
One bad hit.
Right.
And, oh, well, you know, too bad you spent a good draft pick to get this guy and it made sense. It just is always like right around the corner for teams. I don't know what you do about it. I mean, the league has gone a long way, and I think most of it is authentic, to try to protect players, to try to reduce injuries. Nobody wants it. But is there really a way to turn it around, because the game isn't, the field's not getting bigger? Is the field getting bigger? I mean, just, is there going to be some kind of drastic move? And the game suffers, I think people would, coaches, I think, would tend to say, the game suffers because of a relative lack of practice time, training camp. You know, it's not physical. And all of that adds up to, I don't know if it adds up to broken ankles, but it, I think the product from their side of things suffers for that, but it's maybe the best we can do to try to keep it from even being worse.
Well, I tell you, we touched briefly, I think, on, you know, the way the Buccaneers handled that game late. And like, I understand a minute left, your win probability is under 1% because you need a touchdown and an onside kick and then a field goal to even tie it and force overtime. It's defensible to keep going there with a minute left. What I think is harder to defend, and I recognize that the player plays a role in this too, but Evans, right from the start, the first pass, he got a touchdown right away, and he's a mess. Like, he's hobbled right away. Like, what is he doing in the game to begin with? Like, that just seems crazy to me. That somebody met, you know, a medical, a trainer or somebody didn't like watch him run and go, yeah, no.
I don't know.
We should wait a week.
I don't know. Maybe that might be fair, but think of that guy never misses, right? I mean, he just never misses. You're going to tell him that he was healthy enough. I guess you're saying maybe he shouldn't have been considered
as
that.
As soon as he did anything, he was laboring, and then it went down permanently, and it was just, you know. Maybe even after the first, you know, maybe he should have never gone back. After he caught the touchdown, he's hobbled to the sideline. I thought he was done then. And then he came back out. It got hurt on the one he dropped in the end zone, and that was the end of it for him. I just think someone could have intervened there
maybe
to, like, protect him. But, you know, it's also revisionist here now. But I'm, you know, especially because Godwin got hurt like he did.
Well, you just cross your fingers. Try to look away. I mean, think of San Francisco. I mean, you've had Ayuk is gone for the year. Samuel missed the last game. McCaffrey's been out the whole season. The best laid plans, right?
Yeah.
And you don't get you don't get that many years where it's really in the window where you can win it. And then you get a couple of bad injuries and there it goes.
Yeah,
so
San Francisco decided not to trade Ayuk for what would have been a healthy return because they're in a Super Bowl window. We're going for it. We're going to try to go win it while we've got Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle, and now Ayuk gets hurt and he's out for the year, and just, yeah, it's really tough.
Nico Collins, that's not going to be so long-term apparently, but look what he's meant to Houston since he got hurt in the Bills game. They really didn't do anything the rest of the game.
Right.
After Collins left on that touchdown for 14-3, and they finished with 23 points. And then this last game, Stroud didn't get to 90 yards. He had Dell, he had Diggs, he had Schultz. I mean, 86 passing yards. So, obviously, what are you hearing that you didn't know? I mean, these are super important players, high stakes, teams willing to trade draft picks for that one extra guy. Hopefully, they make it through the year. Cooper Kupp, that's Cooper. Amari Cooper doesn't get me to this sort of, like, instinctively, but Cooper Kupp does because he's been hurt a lot.
Yes.
You know, hamstring and ankle, and right. 31 years old. He gets a lot of credit. I know Stefania Bell of ESPN is big on this, like, for just how he works and, you know, how studious he is about his body. But still, like, this kind of thing is undefeated. We'll see what happens with him. But I think that's very interesting if he's available from the Rams' standpoint. Ross Tucker at 5, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR. I've got one for you.
Sweet.
Dalton Kincaid is to the Bills what Jackson Smith and Jigba is to the Seahawks. Or if not to the teams, to the league in terms of their draft position and their production levels so far. I don't know with JSN if Bill's next opponent, Seattle this Sunday, if it's more that he's blocked by
Metcalf and Lockett.
The running back's been great, Walker. But, and with Kincaid, like, there's a little bit of the same with Knox. And But you get to a point where you just kind of want to have a big game from the guy. So you can be like, yeah, this is within the range of outcomes. A 10 catch. I mean, this Otten for Tampa Bay. They're losing, it's easier, and the other guys get hurt. Whatever. There are always different circumstances. But he hits for 8 for 100, ruining my life.
Yeah, I don't even need 10. Just give me like 7 for 115 and two scores. And I'll feel like, okay, I'm there.
And that's a huge game for a tight end. Hunter Henry in London was 9 for 90 or something like that. Kincaid popped a little bit late last season, but his 52 yards against Tennessee was a season high.
Yeah.
And it would just be nice. Because I want to say again, like, I don't have really a negative opinion of the player. I don't think he's getting them beat or anything, obviously. But it would be nice to not have to sort of wonder what you've got. And JSN is the same thing with Seattle, I think. Where maybe the Seahawks don't look at it this way at all, but I think everybody else is sort of wondering what they've got. He was the first receiver picked that same draft, not very far away from when the Bills picked Kincaid.
Right.
Maybe
in
five
the 20s.
Or six picks.
Yeah, everybody was in the 20s.
So He was the consensus number one receiver in that draft. And against the Patriots this year, he had a big game, stats. But that's kind of it in whatever it is, like 20-some games in his career.
Maybe it opens up a little if more. Metcalf misses time here. Like, I know the coach was, it's week to week, but they didn't rule him out for Sunday. I feel like that's just dressing at this point. I mean, if you term a guy week to week with a sprain, I just can't fathom he'll play, but we'll see. But if he doesn't, if Metcalf indeed is out, and I expect that he'll be out, maybe that will free up. I mean, it's a different, you know, he's still going to be in the slot, I assume. They wouldn't move him outside. But maybe like his number will come up more often without Metcalf out there.
He's an interesting guy to think about. We don't talk about or think about necessarily Seattle very often, but you know, over the course of the week, we'll get a feel for just like how confident everybody is. This team's not bad, the Seahawks. Jackson Smith and Jigba has one game in 24 in his career over 63 yards. Like, come on. That's the first receiver picked in the draft. Look at this year. There's like five guys that look great.
Yeah.
Coleman has done better than that already.
Yep.
So, interesting matchup. The rare Bills-Seahawks game in Seattle, they've just met 14 times over the years, Seattle having won 8. Last few have been high-scoring games, too. So let's hope for that, because that's more fun.
405, and we get Brady. He's on the game. Yeah. You look forward to his stats against the Bills all-time being like billboarded all over the broadcast.
Are they doing that kind of thing with him?
I don't know, but
I don't sense that he's in there talking about his career.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is he interesting?
It hasn't gone. To my ears, it's been. And I thought I would hate how much I liked him, if that makes sense. Like, I thought he'd be undeniably great at it, and that would annoy me. He just sounds like a dude. I mean, you recognize his voice because he's Tom Brady, but there's nothing at all interesting happening there that I've heard. I mean, I'm not, you know, taking notes and monitoring every single word he says.
I will be this week.
But nothing has struck me as like, oh, there it is. There's something. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to learn something. And maybe laugh.
Yeah.
If that's possible. It's not too much to ask. We have, here's a guy who can do that for you as a broadcaster, Ross Tucker, who will join us after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.